So this morning, I came to Kit's house. I parked outside the loading spot, and I see the door is securely barred. No one was coming in, no one was going out, like Jericho. So I drove around. It was so hard to find parking today. There was a special meeting in the room. So I drove around one time, two times, three times. I was on the third, the fifth, the second, the sixth. I was going around and around. I was carrying the ark. No, I was carrying this lectern, driving around. I didn't sound my trumpet, though. I didn't sound it seven times like the Israelites did. So I was doing it today. Joshua chapter 6. Israel has entered the promised land, and Jericho is in front of them. The gates are tightly locked, the walls high and unbreakable. If there was ever a time for action and a plan, this is the time. But instead of a battle plan, God gives the Israelites marching orders, literally. Walk around the city, blow your horns, do it for 6 days, and on the seventh day, shout. That's the plan for them. It must have looked absurd. And today's passage raises a question for me and for us. There are times in our lives when we face our own Jerichos. That one challenge that feels impossible right in front of us. And what do we do? Do we storm the walls or the gates? Or do we retreat and give up? Or is there another way? One that might not make sense, but cause us to trust and to obey. So before we go into the sermon today, I'd like us to take a moment of quiet. I'll give you 30 seconds to think about your own life. What is the Jericho that you're facing? Something that is impossible, where you have been pouring energy to force it open. Have you been tempted to give up? And after 30 seconds of thinking of that, I will pray for us before we begin. Father God, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts higher than our thoughts. As we come to your word today, we humble ourselves before you. Open our hearts to trust you, so that we may submit to your perfect plans. Teach us, your church, to be faithfully present before you and before the world. By your Spirit, break down the walls in us that resist you as we proclaim the name of Jesus. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Do we have our PowerPoints for today? Is it up? Okay, keep talking. Let's think about Israel's journey. up to this moment. From Exodus to Joshua, they wandered the wilderness for 40 years, waiting, failing, learning to depend on God for manna and water. And now the previous generation has passed. And at last, this new generation has crossed the Jordan on dry ground. In chapter 5, we read about in Gilgal, they renewed the covenant, they celebrated the Passover, and ate from the produce of the land. There was no more manna for them. Everything seems to be moving forward. And yet, when we come to chapter 6, the Israelites come up against a wall. We're told Jericho is in lockdown. The gates securely barred. No one going out, no one coming in. Jericho was one of the oldest cities in the world, with human settlement dating back to about 9,000 BC. In 2023, new archaeological discoveries led the United Nations to declare, okay, the oldest city of the world. In 2023, new discoveries led the United Nations to declare Jericho the oldest fortified city in the world. Jericho sat in the Jordan Valley, guarding the eastern entrance into Canaan. So if Israel was going to take the land, Jericho was the gatekeeper. And in Deuteronomy, we see that in Deuteronomy, it spoke of large cities with walls up to the sky. And Jericho fits this description. It's built with double walls, an outer and an inner wall. And Rahab's house is built in the structure. And so it's so strong, it looked unbreakable. And this is the very first thing Israel met in the Promised Land. It's not open fields for them to farm and settle. There's no land flowing with milk and honey. Not even smaller tribes or towns for them to go against. But a big city, very walled off, with defenses high. And that's why this story is so compelling. Because life is like this at times. We think we're past the wilderness. We've gotten through the hard part. We experienced God's provision, and we're ready for a new season. And the very next step, we hit a wall that feels impossible to climb. That's where the Israelites are. Jericho stands as one of those obstacles for them, where their strength, their strategies, their resources are not enough. And it is in that place that God teaches his people a different way. And the people turn to God. What does God tell his people to do? He says, march around the city, carry the trumpets, carry the ark. Do this for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, march around 7 times. At the end, when there's a long trumpet blast, everyone shout. That's it. That's the plan. The walls will fall flat, the city will collapse, and you can just walk in. So I just had a deacon's meeting yesterday, and I was thinking about this passage again. If this plan came up in the meeting, the room would probably go silent. Some of us would glance down at our devices, read through the proposal again, hoping we missed something. And I might break the silence and say, okay, interesting idea. And then I'd say, let's come up with something else. How about bring the 2 spies back to our next month's meeting. They've been inside the city. They know where the weak spots are. And we should gather our builders, our strategists, our woodworkers to come up with a real plan. Build a tower, ladders, something that makes sense. And when you hit a wall, the instinct here is to gather information, to strategize, to come up with a plan, to gather resources, to do something smarter, push harder. That's what human effort does. Nothing is wrong with this. These are things we should do. But there is a temptation here. What I call self-effort. It's a mindset that says, if I just push harder, grind more, plan smarter, organize better, then I can make it happen. We grind and we strain, convinced that by our effort alone, we can get things done. And sometimes we carry this instinct, this temptation into our families, workplaces, schools, and even into the church. This is the same temptation we saw back in Eden, the desire to be like God, to take matters into our own hands. But notice what God does at Jericho. He takes away Israel's weapons, tactics, their control, and tells them to march. Why? So that when the walls fall, no one can claim the victory as their achievement. God is shaping a different posture for his people. It is not frantic, no striving, no anxiousness, no control, but a steady obedience, showing up each day, circling the walls, carrying the ark and the horns, even when nothing seems to be happening. This is the kind of presence rooted in trust in the God that is at work, that never stops working. Faithful presence, that's the name the sociologist James Davison Hunter gives in his book, To Change the World. And here's the difference between self-effort and faithful presence. Self-effort strives for control. Faithful presence proclaims that God is in control. Self-effort looks for outcomes that can be seen and measured. Faithful presence asks what God is doing, even when nothing seems to be happening. Self-effort seeks identity through recognition and affirmation in the world. Faithful presence rests in the identity that God has already given us. And so Joshua 6 reminds us, the walls of Jericho will not fall through self-effort. They fall because God acts. And our call is to faithful presence. Our job is to keep walking, keep praying, keep showing up. We don't bring the walls down by our own strength, but God, in his power and his timing, will. If one temptation is self-effort, the other temptation I see is giving up. Israel could have looked at Jericho and said, these walls are just too high, the gates too strong. There's no way through. Let's go back to Gilgal, where it's safe. where it's familiar. That's the instinct of resignation. It whispers quietly to our hearts, this will never change. Why bother? Why keep praying? Why keep walking? And this is the danger. Sometimes giving up appears to look like submission to God on the outside. But inside, the spirit is resignation, hopelessness, shrinking back, stepping aside, and for some, even walking away. Many of us know this temptation. We pray for something for years, but we don't see change. A conflict in the family that never heals. Work that drains us until we're empty. Even discouragement in the church that makes us want to quietly drift away. It feels easier to step back, and we tell ourselves, God will do what he wants anyway. But deep down, it's not just submission. It's resignation. And in the voice, hopelessness is speaking. Israel's obedience in Joshua 6 still required their effort and their presence and showing up. They marched in formation around the city. They carried and blew the trumpets, followed by the ark. Day after day, they circled the city, 6 days in a row. And from human perspective, for those 6 days, nothing is happening at all. No cracks in the walls, there's no dust falling, no signs of progress. But God was still at work in ways that they could not see. And that is what prayer often feels like. Prayer is like circling Jericho day after day, even when things look the same. And Jesus told his disciples a parable about a persistent widow so that they would always pray and not give up. A widow kept knocking on the door of an unjust judge until this judge finally gave her justice. That is the kind of prayer like the marching of the Israelites in Jericho. It feels repetitive, even pointless at times. But this is how we remain faithfully present, despite what the situation might look like. Prayer keeps us hopeful in God's power and in God's timing. And this is the difference between giving up and faithful presence. Giving up resigns to defeat. Faithful presence keeps showing up, waiting for God's victory. Giving up walks away when nothing changes. Faithful presence commits to waiting for God's timing. Giving up quits on prayer, but faithful presence keeps walking, keeps praying, even in the silence. So facing Jericho, there are two temptations: to storm the gates with self-effort or to give up in resignation. But the other way that God calls his people, God calls us to do, is faithful presence. Keep walking, keep praying, keep showing up. And this is what Israel did in the passage. They marched around the city day after day. They carried the ark, the sign of God's own presence in their midst. And when the seventh day came, they blew the trumpets and shouted. Their actions didn't topple the walls. It was God, faithful to his promise, who brought the walls down. While his people remained faithfully present until his time came. And as we near the end of the story, there's a quiet detail about Rahab. While Jericho collapsed, Rahab and her family were spared because she trusted in God's promise and tied a scarlet cord in her window. God didn't only tear down walls and destroy cities. There was redemption in this story. Outsiders like Rahab were brought in. And Rahab is a reminder that God's power and justice are never separated from his mercy and his love. God is on a mission, and the church is part of it. But that mission is not achieved by our self-effort, as if God's kingdom depended on how much power, influence, or resources we can gather. All of these belong to him already. And it's not achieved by our withdrawal, giving up, as if we pull back, as if we need to protect ourselves and watch the world from afar. And instead, the mission of the church is faithful presence. Wherever we are, wherever we go, wherever God has placed us, show up in our neighborhoods, workplaces, love and serve people, pray with persistence in every season, and trust that the outcomes belong to God and his timing is perfect. And this faithful presence doesn't mean we stop caring about change. It means we believe, we trust deep down that change only comes through Christ's presence in us and through us. That's why we don't measure faithfulness by how quickly the walls fall, or by the size of our budgets, how much money we spend, or by the number of people to our services or programs, or whether we have a church building or not. We measure faithfulness by seeing whether we keep walking, whether we are praying, whether we show up where God sends us, moving in step with his Spirit. And faithful presence is this. We show up in our families. We don't try to control every outcome. We don't disengage from our families. But we stay. We are patient. We are attentive. We serve and love our family members. We show up in workplace and schools. We don't dominate other people or climb over them. But we also don't hide our faith. We don't just clock the hours when we go to work. We work with integrity, with kindness, bear witness to God's kingdom. And faithful presence can even be as simple as our daily and our weekly routines. The restaurants we go to, the groceries we go, these are places that God gives us our rhythms, our routines, our places of our presence. And in all of these, we show up in prayer. We don't demand instant results from God, but we don't give up when nothing seems to change. We keep circling Jericho day after day, trusting that God hears our prayer. God is at work. And that the seventh day will come. And lastly, let us remember, at Jericho, they have to carry the Ark of the Covenant with them. It was a sign of God's presence in the midst of the people. For 6 days, every lap they go around the city, Israel knew that they were not alone. God himself was with them. And God himself is with us too. His presence is no longer in the golden box on poles. It is Christ himself. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the true ark, God in flesh and blood, dwelling fully among us, walking with his people, interceding for his people, showing up for us. He is faithful and he is present. And that means our call to faithful presence is not something we do on our own. We just muster up our strength to do it, because it is an extension, an outflow of who Christ is in us, with us, through us, for the sake of the world. So what is the Jericho in your life right now? Do you feel a pressure to try harder, or do you feel a pull to give up? Today's passage is a call to us to keep walking, to keep praying, to keep showing up. And in his time, the walls will fall down. And beyond the walls, we will find God's redemption inside. Amen.